Hello and welcome to the Symantec Cybersecurity Brief, our weekly podcast where we discuss all things cybersecurity. I'm Dick O'Brien and joining me today are Symantec threat researchers Bridget O'Gorman and Candid West. In this week's podcast, we'll be talking about how a woman was arrested when she was found attempting to gain access to the US President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort with a USB stick containing malware. How security researchers managed to trick a Tesla into driving on the wrong side of the road. How the US city of Albany has become the latest victim of a ransomware attack. And the latest trick employed by scammers to lure people into clicking on pop-up advertisements. But first, a kind of odd story broke earlier on this week when it was reported that more than 20 spyware-infected apps had been available on the Google Play Store for around 2 years before anyone spotted them. The spyware is known as Exodus, and it was reportedly developed by eServe, an Italian company that sells surveillance cameras. Now, what's strange is that eServe is not normally involved in creating tools like this, and Exodus is believed to be the first spyware application it created. The discovery of the infected apps was made by researchers from the Security Without Borders organization and journalists from tech news site Motherboard. Google removed the apps after it was notified, and it said that less than 1,000 people had downloaded them, mainly located in Italy. So what was going on? Was there some sort of mass spying campaign underway? It remains unclear why the spyware was put up on Google Play in the first place, but experts who talked to Motherboard suggested that it may have been a mistake that it was publicly available, saying it's possible that the operation might have been poorly targeted or faulty, causing it to infect innocent victims along the way. Legal experts, meanwhile, said that the tool could be illegal. Then, later in the week, it transpired that Italian authorities were thinking the same thing because it emerged that prosecutors in the city of Naples had already opened up an investigation into eServe and its chief executive a few weeks before the Motherboard report was published. Police had reportedly already raided the company's offices and seized all of its computers. Now, there's a further wrinkle to the story, too, because it appears that the company already has a contract for the development of a, quote, passive and active interception system for the Italian state police. However, it's unclear at this stage whether Exodus is the system it developed under this contract or is something else entirely, and if it is the system, whether it was being used in an official capacity or not. All right, let's move on to our next item, because Bridget wants to discuss a rather unusual news story that's come out in the last few days.
Yeah, so this is quite the story that just broke this week. So a Chinese woman named Xinying Han has been arrested after she was caught attempting to gain unauthorized entry to US President Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago resort in Florida. And at the time, she was carrying a Thumb USB drive that was infected with malware. Now, this incident occurred last week at the weekend, and it's definitely a story that has raised some eyebrows because Miss Han did manage to get by the Secret Service detail and into the reception area of the resort before it was discovered that she wasn't actually authorized to be there. Now, she reportedly approached the Secret Service detail at the entrance to the resort, and she said that she was there to use a swimming pool. But when her name didn't appear on the list of authorized persons, so members, etc., who are allowed to enter the Mar-a-Lago resort, the Secret Service detail reportedly contacted one of the resort managers, who suggested that Han may be the daughter of a member of the club. And apparently this presumption was purely based on the fact that there was a member of the club who also had the surname Han. Now, Miss Han reportedly gave what was described as an ambiguous nod when this suggestion was made to her that her father was a member of the club. And so the Secret Service, who presumes that a language barrier was stopping Miss Han from giving further details, then granted her access to the resort and they transported her to the reception area. However, when she got that far, her story then changed and she actually claimed she was there to attend an event, a United Nations Chinese American Association conference. However, this event was not actually scheduled to take place, and so at that point, suspicions were then raised and Miss Han was removed from the premises and she was then questioned by the Secret Service.
And have we found out any more about what her true intentions were, or indeed what was contained on the USB stick?
Not really a whole lot, to be honest. So Miss Han claimed to the Secret Service agents, who also noted when they were interviewing her at this point, that she appears to have no issue understanding or speaking English, that a man called Charles, with whom she'd met online, had asked her to fly from China to Florida to find and speak to some of President Trump's inner circle about Chinese and American business relations. So that was her, that's her claim as to why she was there. Also, it's important to note that as well as the thumb drive, Han also had in her possession two Chinese passports, four smartphones and a laptop. Now, no details have yet been released about the malware that was on the thumb drive. So whether it was just some, you know, junky kind of malware, or if it was some kind of sophisticated spyware that was designed to infect the systems at the Mar-a-Lago resort, we just don't know. Now, we have, of course, seen infected USB drives used to infect systems before, and they're often used to get malware onto systems that are maybe isolated and not connected to the internet. And probably this technique was most famously used during the Stuxnet attacks, when infected USBs were then used to get malware onto the systems of Iranian nuclear plants. However, at the moment, we've no idea if the malware on the USB stick that was carried by Han posed any kind of actual threat. I mean, given the way she was caught so kind of quickly, you know, it doesn't sound like this was the most sophisticated kind of infiltration operation ever. So once all the, you know, inconsistencies in Han's story were discovered, she was arrested. And then she's subsequently been charged with making false statements to a federal officer and with entering restricted property. And she's currently now being held in custody in Florida. She's due to appear in court on April 8th, so the start of next week. And if she is convicted, she could face up to 5 years in jail and fines of more than $350,000. But we perhaps maybe will find out more about perhaps what kind of malware was on the USB stick and that kind of information next week when she appears in court. Now, while we don't know yet what the motivations of Han may have been, if she was acting alone or if this was some kind of organized effort, you know, it definitely has raised security concerns for the president, who was present in Mar-a-Lago on the day that Han gained access, although there's no indication that she actually got anywhere near him or any members of his family. But it is obviously still, I'm sure, a concerning development.
Yeah, concerning, all right. And lots of unanswered questions, and maybe we'll find out more next week when she appears in court. Now, onto something completely different, because as cars have incorporated more and more new technologies, there's been a steady stream of stories over the past few years about vehicle security. And there was one again this week when researchers found a way to trick a Tesla into changing it to the wrong name. How realistic is that scenario? Candid, can you tell us?
Yeah, so it will be difficult to say how realistic it is, but let's start at the beginning. Researchers at Tencent's Keen Security Lab have been looking at the Tesla cars for quite a while now, right? They have found all kinds of interesting issues over the years, and my guess is that they probably will keep looking and probably also will be finding more. But this time, it's actually not what you would expect. So it's not an internal code exploit, like, for example, the one seen at the Pwn2Own contest last month, where the fluorosated duo managed to execute code on the Tesla infotainment system. And since it's the rule, they actually also won the whole car to take home with that. But again, so this one that we talk about here is more about an attack against the integrated autopilot. By generating false input data for its decision algorithm, they were able to fool the car into making false decisions. So the researchers say they can trick a Tesla Model S75 into leaving the correct driving lane, which could potentially mean that it would be steering into the opposite lane, which is, of course, very bad. So in order to achieve this, they reverse engineered how the car identifies the lane with the built-in cameras and figured out how to manipulate the decision process. And it turns out that the car mainly relies on the camera feed to identify the road markings, which is probably not a big surprise here. So after they finished the reverse engineering of the machine learning algorithm, all they needed to do is paint three little squares at the right place on the road, and the car's module would actually interpret it with high confidence as a turn or a curve of the road. So, which of course means that the autonomous driving mode would try and follow the bend, resulting in the change of lanes that we mentioned. So the interference is quite simple to conduct. And of course, it does not really cost much. All you need is some time and some painting. But it is similar to previous attacks that we have discussed before. For example, where a stop sign has been modified with stickers to get it recognized as a speed sign by mistake, or the attacks against the face recognition, which use glasses with some special stickers attached to it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole concept of adversarial machine learning is kind of an interesting research field, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. And I would say we'll probably see more of the research appearing over the coming year, right? Of course, we have to admit the experience that they were doing were carried out in a controlled environment, so that definitely helps as well. And normally, when the Tesla's autopilot believe that there will be a changing in lanes, it will actually ask the driver for permission. However, in this case, the researcher make it look like the street is just making a turn. So technically, it's not shifting lanes, at least not from the perspective of the computer. So there probably would not be a kind of asking the permission of the driver. The autonomous driving assistant uses, of course, not just the cameras, but it could also use the ultrasonic sensors, radar, and also a map of the streets, which could indicate if there is a turn or not. So the effect of the attack could be minimized if other sensors are not fooled at the same time as well. And in all fairness, I mean, painting new stripes on the lines and lines on the road would confuse me as well, even without any autopilot engaged. Of course, Tesla pointed out that there would be a collision warning if you find any obstacle in the second lane, and the driver is required to pay attention at all times anyway. So the driver could and probably should override the autopilot in such an attack by just taking over the steering wheels and the brakes.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how cars would autopilot behave on some Irish roads, because we often don't have any lane markings at all. Now, on to other news, because there's been a spate of ransomware attacks in the past year or so targeting city authorities in the United States, and there was yet another one this week.
Yeah, so the latest victim we've seen is the city of Albany, which of course is the state capital of New York. Now, the city's mayor revealed on Saturday, March 30th, that the city had been the victim of a ransomware attack and that it was working to try and get its systems back up and running. They said, though, on Monday that, however, that despite the attack, all city services, with the exception of the issuing of birth, death and marriage certificates, would be available to the public and that all city buildings would open at 12 noon on Monday. Now, some of the systems that were affected included payroll services, with city employees reportedly tracking their hours on paper, while the city's police officers union also revealed that the police forces scheduling system and departmental email was also inaccessible. However, the city did say that they had no evidence that the personal data of any of the city's employees was accessed. Now, so far, not too many details about the attack have been released. So, for instance, we don't know, you know, the type of ransomware that was used or the extent of the impact of this attack on city systems. And it, crucially as well, it also hasn't been revealed whether or not the city paid the ransom. Now, while obviously people are generally advised not to pay ransoms to cyber criminals, as obviously it only encourages this type of behavior and this type of activity. And as well, of course, you know, you're dealing with criminals, so even if you pay the ransom, there is no guarantee you will regain access to your files. But as well, it is possible that Albany officials are looking at the experience of officials in Atlanta, Georgia, which was one of the victims of one of those ransomware attacks in the last year. Now, the ransom at that time, I think, was in the region of $50,000. And officials didn't pay this ransom, but the cleanup costs of the attack have subsequently ballooned to as much as $17 million, reportedly. And I suppose figures like that do show just how disruptive and costly ransomware attacks can be. And another story in the news this week, you know, shows that they really can be totally devastating for smaller businesses, with a medical practice in Michigan reportedly having closed its doors rather than attempting to recover from a ransomware attack that it suffered. Now, Data Breach Today reported that the doctors at the small two-man practice had decided to retire early rather than attempt to take on the cost of recovering from the attack, which saw the practice lose access to patient medical records as well as to billing, scheduling and other critical data. And now, while some people might think that closing down entirely is an extreme reaction to a ransomware attack, it does demonstrate the devastating effects these attacks can have, especially on smaller businesses, which may not be insured against such events, and for whom the cost of even a few $1,000s can be make a major impact on the business and can be the difference between the business being viable or not. And I suppose all these stories really do underline the continuing importance of businesses protecting themselves against ransomware and ensuring that they have backups of all critical data so that they can restore their systems if they are the victims of an attack. Now, I suppose the spotlight has shifted somewhat off ransomware in the last few months, as we have reported on, trendier, newer threats like formjacking. But it is still a major issue that can, really be really disruptive and destructive for businesses especially. And we did find in our ISTR as well, which we released in February, that while ransomware attacks in general trended downwards in 2018, attacks on enterprises did increase by 12%. So attackers do seem to be shifting their kind of focus when it comes to ransomware from consumers to more targeted attacks on businesses.
Yeah, a timely reminder there about the dangers of a ransomware attack against organizations. Now, before we go, we have time for one final item, and it's about how scammers have yet again found a new trick to make you click on advertisements. Candid, what have they come up with now?
Yeah, so as often, it's a simple trick, which turns out to be quite successful. So these new methods that they have found and that we observed is tricking users into clicking on advertisements. So we all have seen those pop-ups on websites, right? They block the whole page, which are often very annoying on their own. And the natural behavior is to click on the big X at the top in order to close the overlaid advertisements, right?
Yeah, that's at least what I do anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Me too. But however, in this case, the attackers are actually tracking the location of the mouse pointer in the background. And as soon as you are getting near the close button, it will use CSS to expand the advertisement window, so enlarging it, which means, of course, that you're not clicking on the X to close it, but effectively right onto the advertisement, which will then open a new page and probably generate some revenue for the scammers.
All right, that is really a sneaky trick and probably really annoying too.
Yes, absolutely. And it's, of course, just one more trick in their arsenal. I mean, they have a whole bag, and in the past, we have seen many methods to hijack clicks for advertisement fraud. You might remember when they waited till you click somewhere and then changed the order of the objects below the mouse pointer, or they used invisible fields to catch wherever you click. My favorite trick was the evil cursor bug that actually has been fixed in Chrome browsers last month. And in those attacks, the scammers would change the icon of your cursor on the website, which is an official feature, so you can do that. But of course, they did not change it in something nice. They just used a very large transparent square as your new mouse pointer. And then they added the normal mouse pointer at the far corner of the image. So this means you see the mouse pointer at a specific location, but the actual click is done at the opposite corner of the invisible graphic. That usually results in quite some frustration, as you wouldn't be able to close any windows, as you simply don't aim right with the clicking. And this frustration plays right into the hand of the scammers, as this trick, of course, has often been used for tech support scams. And then it's needless to say that they are very kindly offering to fix your computer issues for a small fee, of course. So, and I would say this is why you should always be careful on where you click. Even if it's not installing any malware, it can still be very annoying.
Yeah, we've all been there, all right. Okay, that's about all we have time for this week. If you've been enjoying our podcast, please do subscribe. You can avoid missing out on all future episodes. You can also follow us on Twitter at Threat Intel or at Medium at medium.com/threat-intel. If you'd like to read our latest research, check out our blog, which can be found at semantic.com/blogs/threat-intelligence. We'll be back again next week when we'll be talking about what's new in the world of cybersecurity. Until then, thank you and goodbye.